Brad Johansson, voice of the Cincinnati Bengals. What's going on with David Pollack?
He's at a disadvantage. There's no question. Coming in to camp late in a new position and trying to get back into football shape, let alone at a position you know is difficult enough, this will be extremely detrimental to this team trying to get off to a fast start.
Now back to Unabated Sports on Cincinnati's ESPN Radio, 1450 The Ticket.
And we are back on Unabated Sports, presented by Crossroads Sports Bar and Grill. And that was Brad Johansson's take last week on David Pollack. And now we are joined by a very special guest, TheBengals.com, Jeff Hobson. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on.
It's welcome, a pleasure Jeff. To have you. Jeff, that was Brad's take on David Pollack. You know, it's a player I guarantee you're getting tired of talking about. But what is going on with David Pollack? How close are they? Is it just a matter of a day or two?
Both players drafted around him are already in. From what I understand, the Bengals are in the SWAT, and they're trying to tie up the escalators. And I don't know how long that's going to take, but I'm going to guess that maybe he'd be in camp by Sunday if they're as close as people say. No reason really to get him in there now because they did a walkthrough today. They got a game tomorrow. So, you know, I guess the best-case scenario would get him into the meetings on Saturday night and for that Sunday practice. But, you know, no one really knows what's holding it up because the SWAT's there.
Now, let's talk about the second player I guaranteed you're tired of talking about. And that, obviously, is Peter Warrick.
Right.
And what exactly is going on there? There's a lot going on there. Is he healthy enough to play? What's the pay cut?
Yeah, you know, I think there's the Bengals have had a big question about if he's going to be able to come back on that knee. And the minute they clear him and he steps on the field, they're liable for $2.2 million. I think they're also looking at it that they really like what Kelly Washington and Chris Henry have done. So, you know, Warrick's kind of got a long climb, I think, to be the number three guy, which is if you're going to pay a guy $2.2 million, he better be at least your number three guy. They're in a situation where you can't trade him because he's been hurt. And, you know, I think they're thinking the best-case scenario is, if he can play, you know, we'll pay you. But, we want to be liable for the whole thing. And I think this is going to get resolved very quickly. Warrick said last night that he would not take a pay cut. So that makes me think, you know, and Drew Rosenhaus's agent sent a clear message through the media yesterday that, he's trying to stir it up for his team, for his client for a trade. So I just think something in some form is going to happen after this game. I think the Bengals are going to be able to see what Henry and Tad Perry are like, and other teams are going to be able to take stock of what they've got. And if there can be a trade or if the Bengals feel like that they can move on without him, they'll have a better idea after Friday night. But I think that should get resolved. Hopefully the Pollack and Warrick thing get resolved early next week.
Jeff, you talked a bit about Warrick in your article today on Bengals.com, which, by the way, great write-up today. I love checking out your site. If anybody hasn't checked out Bengals.com, you need to go. Jeff does a great job on that. The opening sentence to your story today was the swashbuckling Bengals and the weather remain red hot. But really, to me, the key that was in there that was great is the Peter Warrick thing. And it says, asked if he'd take a pay cut to stay in Cincinnati, Warrick said, "See my face?" The face said, "No. You saw my face," Warrick said. So
now maybe his agent can talk him out of it, but I think what Peter's thinking too, and he has also said this before, he doesn't want to go to a new team with a new quarterback and a new playbook because he's going to be hired from the get-go. The ideal scenario would be to stay in Cincinnati with where everything he knows or everything is comfortable. But, what happens if they cut him and he goes to a place and he's behind, and not only that, he's hurt. I mean, so I don't know. You know, it's, I'm glad I don't have to make the decision. I'm glad I'm not the Bengals. I'm glad I'm not Peter Warrick. It's a tough call.
We are talking with Jeff Hobson of Bengals.com. And, Jeff, when we talk about the website Bengals.com, you were a writer for The Inquirer before going to become the person basically who runs Bengals.com. Let me ask you, how fair can you be in your reporting of the Bengals? Because there you have to be careful because you work for the team, but at the same time, you can't give them a free pass. Right. What kind of issues do you deal with as a writer and a reporter in that case?
Well, you're right. They signed my check, and I thank you for understanding that I walk a fine line. It's a it's tougher than writing for the newspaper because I could pretty much write whatever I wanted. And I can pretty much write whatever I want at Bengals.com, but I also have to careful of Marvin Lewis and, you know, who's, you know, he likes to keep things close to the vest. And, you know, I don't think, you know, I don't think he particularly likes sometimes having a hard-nosed reporter in his own building. And so that's been kind of tough. And, you know, let's face it, there are some things I can't write about maybe that other publications can. But I think for the most part, I think you can. It's still writing about football. It's still writing about the team, and I think fans can get a pretty good call on the site. I think they can pretty much get both sides of the issue, and that's all I'm trying to do. And I'm trying to give them information in a different and exciting way that they might not get any place else. There's a lot of competition out there. A lot of great people cover the Bengals. They do a good job, and it's a very competitive beat. And I'm just trying to hang with them, and it's a little different situation. It's the same. You're covering it's the same as it was at the Inquirer, except the publisher isn't Gannett. It's Mike Brown, and believe me, he's the best publisher I ever worked for because he just lets me do my job.
Well, that's nice to hear, and you do a fine job.
Absolutely, Jeff. This is Martin.
Yes, sir, Martin. How you doing?
Oh, doing really good, doing really good. You know, anticipation is high for Friday night's game, but I had a couple of questions for you in terms of key injury updates.
Right.
And starting with Chad Johnson. Chad Johnson has missed some practice this week, you know, with the, I guess he fell hard on his ankle, you know, in practice on Monday. For fans that are coming out to the game or that will be watching the game Friday night, can we expect to see Chad Johnson? If so, for how long? Or do you think it will be very, very limited and they'll even hold him out maybe until next week or so?
Now, I think he'll play, but Marvin wouldn't give us any idea at all how long the starters would play. I don't think the starters are going to play very long. I'm going to figure they'll probably play about two series. I think Chad will probably play that because he did sit out. He did turn the ankle Monday morning and did not practice the rest of that session, but did practice Monday night, and he practiced every session until Wednesday morning when they decided to just sit him out, and he came back Wednesday night. So he looked good. So I expect him to do whatever the first team does, but I don't think the first team's going to do much.
Okay. And also, what about Carter Worley? You know, the Bengals signed Carter Worley. You know, kicking was a source of strength for us last year through Shane Graham. Now, obviously, Shane has, you know, the groin injury is going right now. They brought Worley into camp this week. I guess he followed Shane at Virginia Tech. How has Worley looked? I know we'll get a long look at him this Friday night.
No, yeah, I think he's just basically a stopgap, you know, just somebody to get him through. You know, they brought him in because Shane knew him from Tech, and he said he was a good kickoff guy, which is pretty much what they're going to need him to do. They need somebody to kick off because Shane is still going to kick field goals. But I would imagine on longer field goals, I bet Worley gets a shot. He looked pretty good in warm-ups. He looked pretty good going from the Manchester Wolves to the NFL last night when a couple drills there that they had to do near the what they were simulating last-second field goals, and he hit all three of them near or at the gun, you know, he's clearly just a stopgap.
Okay. And lastly, what about Willie Anderson? How far away are we from seeing Willie Anderson in game action? You know, practice or on the field.
You know, I think there's an outside shot he'll be back Sunday, but I think there's probably a better chance he'll be back later in the week or at the beginning of next week. So I think he'll probably be playing in games. Probably by the third preseason game.
We're talking with Jeff Hobson of Bengals.com. Jeff, you've talked a little bit about what we'll see in terms of starters, who will play, who will not play tomorrow. What would make it a successful game besides a lack of injuries? What would make the Bengals walk away with a good feeling from this game? What should we look for as fans?
I think that the first offense goes out there crisply. Maybe they get a field goal, maybe they get a touchdown, put something on the board, and even if they don't score, they move the ball. And I think the test, I think, defensively is, you know, can they stop the run? And I don't know how long Dillon's going to play, if he'll play, but I think you'll get a sense of guys like Brian Robinson and Odell Thurman. I mean, to me, Thurman's the key guy to watch. I mean, because if they're going to survive the Pollock thing, you know, Landon Johnson's an excellent player. He's going to hold. He'll be fine at strong side backer, but. Odell make the plays in the middle? I mean, that's a big question. You get a rookie in there, that's a leadership spot. I mean, it's like having almost like a, a rookie quarterback, you know. So, you know, he's to me, that's a big thing to watch. I think if he holds up against the run and he's in the places where he's supposed to be, that would be an encouraging thing. Carson comes out, is crisp, you know, completes 60% of his passes. Rudy breaks his sweat. I'd really like to. To me, the guys to look for are Chris Perry on offense and Odell Thurman on defense. They want to see Chris Perry be able to run, to be healthy, to not be restricted by his by that abdominal thing. Some speed downfield, and I think offensive and I think on defense, Thurman to you know, stop the run. I think if they, you know, they'll be encouraged if they see some signs there. And also Stacey Andrews playing in place of Willie Anderson. That's an interesting thing, too. It's Stacey Andrews' first NFL. It's his first start of any football game of any kind. Pop Warner, college, high school, his first start comes in the pros tomorrow night against the Super Bowl champions.
Jeff, you're getting ahead of me and you're answering all my questions. My next question was about Chris Perry and the fact that he is that people want to see more than any other besides Odell Thurman. Those are the two that people want to see the most and the most curious about. And Chris Perry, to me, when I saw him in Michigan, he is an exceptional blocker, and he also is a great pass catcher out of the backfield. Is he going to get a lot of looks on third downs in particular this year?
Oh, I think he'll be. You know, I think he'll be the third down back. I think he. You have to pencil him in. And Kenny Watson's a fine player, a splendid third down back. But Perry is in a very unusual player. I mean, he could be. He gives this team what Brooks gave the Super Bowl team, a downfield threat pass. You know, if this kid can do what they think he can do and what he has flashed in practice, you know, people are going to forget about Peter Warwick and a pass catching tight end, because this kid will make up for it on third down.
Jeff, people are really fired up right now. There were 9,200 for the mock game on Saturday, and the Bengals practice Wednesday night got about 5,500 people.
They just keep coming, man. They love
fantastic.
It.
Fantastic.
It's like locusts.
That's right.
But people are ready for a winner. What if the unthinkable happens and they go 8-8 again? Or, oh, dear Lord, if it happens and they go 7-9, what happens then?
Well, I tell you what, it's clearly the most loyal fan base in the NFL. I mean, if they've survived this, you know, if they have survived a decade of drudgery, you know, and come back, well, then they'll probably be able to survive a quick hit at 7-9. But it would be a big blow what Marvin Lewis is trying to do if they go 8-8 again. I mean, that would be a big shot to the rebuilding thing, because the schedule I think is viable for these guys. You know, I think they've done a good job of signing. You know. The critics can get on him about Pollock, but you know that's been a tough negotiation. But they did a good job getting Rudy and TJ in here to keep the offense intact. I think they got a good player in Brian Robinson. So I think, you know, they've done the things they've had to do, I think, to take the next step. I think the biggest thing they did was hire Chuck Bresnahan as a defensive coordinator. Because let's face it, we can sit here and talk all we want, and this season is going to come down to one thing, and it's going to be stopping the run in the AFC North. If they don't stop the run in the AFC North, they ain't going to win it, they'll go 8-8. But if they can play Pittsburgh and Baltimore relatively tough in the run game, then there's your 10-6, and there you go. And I think Bresnahan, he's got them playing a simple brand of defense that emphasizes, you know, just do your job. Don't do anything crazy. We're going to be playing straight up, and you know, I think they got a shot at playing better against the run.
Okay, Jeff, we've talked so much, you know, about the attitude, the morale of the fans. You know, people are very optimistic. What would you say the attitude and morale of the Bengals, you know, in the locker room and at camp, going into this first game against the Patriots, is right now?
I think it's gaudily optimistic. I think Marvin is, you know, they're trying to downplay. They're trying to downplay the anticipation, of course. This is almost like talking to George Bush's people before a debate, downplay the expectations. That's natural, I think. And but I think there's just the fans and the players have been through so much. I think it's hey, let's do it on the field. We can talk all we want. And there's been, you know, last year was a big season of talk, 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 and they only came up 8-8. I think they learned a lesson from that, and I think the things are nobody's saying very much, you know, and I think even Chad has been saying we got to go out and do it. And you know, I think they seem to be a little bit sober almost about it. They know that it's they know this is a big year, you know, and they know that people are going to, and they know that they know exactly that, that people are expecting them, expecting nothing less.
I guess it ties in with, you know, the slogan on the T-shirts that we see on the news every day, do your job, and that's what it looks like exactly you're feeling. You know, they want to go out and get it done.
Yeah, it's kind of like covering a, the last week has been kind of like covering a factory, you know. They're kind of grimly going about it, and I don't know how crisp practices have been. They've been out there a long time, it's been hot, and they've been banging away, and it's, you know, you get the sense that they're grinding it, and there's a mission out there, there's a purpose, and you know, it's kind of the bloom is off the rose, so to speak. You know, Marvin's not new anymore. You know, all the thing was new and great, but at the end of it, Marv's a tough guy. Marv's a tough guy. They work hard, and you know, I think that the reality of being a contender, or people think of being a contender, is sinking in.
Jeff, one last question. You mentioned 10-6 earlier. You're reporting. You work for the Bengals. Do you have anything in your heart of what you believe the Bengals will do? Of what,
you know,
turns a record?
You know what? There's a part of me that says, you know what? They're going to come out like 88, where their offense is so good and so far ahead of the defenses that they're just going to shoot out to 5-0, 5-1. You know, they're just going to be they're just going to roll up points. You know, I could see that happening. I mean, you know, that could happen where they, you know, and the defense isn't even a question because they score so many points early. You know, I mean, a part of me sees that happening, that it could be a rerun of 88. You know, and the defense, you know, the offense is a story, and Carson is Boomer and all that, and Perry is Brooks. I could see that happening, you know, and it is hard for me to see them go up to Cleveland and get beat. You know, it's hard for me to see them go to Chicago and get beat. I think those are two huge games early. They have to win those two games on the road. I think it'd be a huge setback to lose one of those.
Jeff, thank you very much. That was very good stuff. It was good to hear from you, and keep up the good work with the Bengals at Bengals.com.
Thanks, guys, for having me on. Thank you very much for having me on. I hope you'll have me on later in the season.
Absolutely.
Thanks a lot, Jeff.
Thanks,
it was
Jeff.
A pleasure.